A woman, Mrs. J.T. Holmes, who, some time before, had been accused of witchcraft, went to this house, and practiced various incantations to exorcise the witch, or the evil spirit, or whatever. She died suddenly. It was said that she was subject to fits, and had died in one of her convulsions. Whether his decision related to taboo, or not, the coroner decided not to hold an inquest. Upon December 12, 1930, see the Home News, Bronx, December 22, 1930. A resident of the Bronx, Elisha Shamray, who had changed his name from Ray of Sky, opened a pharmaceutical laboratory in Jackson Street, Lower East Side, New York. During the night he died. His brother, Dr. Charles Ray of Sky, came from Liberty, NY, to arrange for the funeral. He died a week later. The next night, the third of these brothers, Michael Shamray, Tremont Ave, Bronx, was on his way to arrange for the second funeral. He was struck by an automobile, and was killed. In August, 1927, Wayne B. Wheeler was the general counsel of the Anti-Saloon League of America. Upon August 13, an oil stove exploded in his home, and his wife was killed. Later, his father dropped dead. Upon the 5th of September, Wheeler died. New York, Sunday, February 3, 1932, Mount Vernon, Ohio, February 3. Fear that the mysterious illness which has killed three young brothers may strike again in the same family gripped surviving members of the household, today. Upon the 24th of January, Stanley Pozig, aged 9, died in the home of his parents, on a farm, near Mount Vernon. Upon the 31st, Raymond, aged 8, died. Marion, aged 6, died, February 2. The state health department had been unable to identify the malady. Chemists spent 24 hours making tests of the youngest victim's blood, without finding a trace of poison. 22. Belief in God in nothing in Einstein a matter of fashion. Or that college professors are mannequins, who doll up in the latest proper things to believe, and guide their young customers modishly. Fashions often revert, but to be popular they modify. It could be that a redressed doctrine of witchcraft will be the proper acceptance. Come unto me, and maybe I'll make you stylish. It is quite possible to touch up beliefs that are now considered dowdy, and restore them to fashionableness. I conceive of nothing, in religion, science, or philosophy, that is more than the proper thing to wear, for a while. Typhoid Mary, I doubt her germs, or I suspect that she was more malicious than germy. But nobody else, at least so far as go the published accounts, which could not be expected to go very far back in the years 1906-14, thought of ignoring her germs, and of bottling her rays. For my own suspicion that this was a case of witchcraft, I shall, for a while, probably be persecuted, by an amused tolerance, but, if back in the year 1906, anybody had given his opinion that Typhoid Mary was a witch, he'd have been laughed at outright. Nobody accused Typhoid Mary, except properly. According to the demonology of her era, she was distributing billions of little devils. Her case is framed with the unrecorded. As to her relations with her victims, I have nothing upon which to speculate. The homes of dying men and women have been bombarded with stones of undetectable origin. Nobody was accused. We have had data of unexplained explosions, and data of seeming effects of rays, not physical, upon motors. To me it is thinkable that a distant enemy could, invisibly, make an oil stove explode, and kill a woman, and then if by means other than any known radioactivity, aeroplanes ever have been picked from the sky, pick from existence other members of her family. The explosion of the oil stove is simply a bang, such as cartoonists sometimes draw, with a margin of vacancy. But there have been cases of persons who were accused of witchcraft. This statement, like every other statement, issuing from the Supreme Court of the United States of America, from a nursery, from a meeting of the Amer Association, ad Psi, or from the gossip of imbeciles, means whatever anybody wants it to mean. One interpretation is that superstitious people have attributed various misfortunes, which were probably due to their own ignorance and incompetence, to the malice of neighbors. At any rate, these cases are sketches of relations with environment, and so far we have been in a garden of evil, in which blossom deaths and destructions, without visible stems, and without signs of the existence of roots. New York Evening World, September 14, 1928. Michael Drowse, a farmer, living near Bruce, Wisconsin, who shot and fatally wounded John Vasba, 44, told Sheriff Dobson that he did it because Vasba had bewitched his cows. New York Times, September 8, 1929. Action by the Rye, N.Y. National Bank against Leland Waterbury, of Pound Ridge, for recovery of properties, which the bank alleged had been taken from its client, Howard Isers, by evil eye methods. The case has come to be known as the Westchester Witchcraft Case. New York Times, October 9, 1930. Charges of sorcery brought against Henry Dorn, of Janesville, WIS. After a member of the State Board of Medical Examiners listened to the charges of sorcery, he said that he was convinced that they were unfounded. Dorn's sister had accused him of casting spells of sickness upon members of her household. So that case was disposed of. I am not given to fortune-telling. I dislike the idea of fortune-telling, so-called, or termed more pretentiously. But I do think that anybody could tell the fortune of any member of any State Board of Medical Examiners, who would say, of any charge of sorcery, that he was convinced that it was well-founded. There were other charges against Dorn. They remind one of accusations in old-time witchcraft trials. That Dorn had caused apples to rot on trees, cows to go dry, and hens to cease laying. Opponents to the idea of witchcraft are much influenced by their inability to conceive how anybody could make apples rot, inability to visualize the process of drying a cow, or entering into the organism of a hen, and stopping her productions. And science does not tell them how this could be done. So. Also they cannot conceive how something makes apples grow, or why they don't rot on trees, how the milk of a cow is secreted, or why she shouldn't be dry, how the egg of a hen develops. And science does not tell them. It's every man for himself, and save who can, and damnation is in accepting any Messiah's offers of salvation. We're told too much, and we're told too little. We rely. And for two pins, having had experiences by which I am pretty well assured that nobody ever has two pins, when they're called for, I'd finish this book, as a personal philosophy, or for myself, alone, and then burn it. It's everybody for himself, or he isn't anybody. It's every thinker for himself. He can be told of nothing but surfaces. Theological fundamentalists say, rudely, they think, that all things have makers, that God made all things. Then what made God? Even little boys ask. Space is curved, and behind space, or space-time, there is nothing, says Professor Einstein. Also may he be construed as saying that it is only relatively to something else that anything can be curved. Throughout this book there is a permeation that may be interpreted as helplessness and hopelessness, absence of anything in science more than approximately to rely on solaces and reassurances of religion, but any other religion would do as well. All progresses returning to their points of origin, philosophies only intellectual dressmaking. But, if it's every man for himself, it is my expression that out of his illusion that he has a self, he may develop one. In records of witchcraft trials, often appears the statement that the accused person was seen, at the time of doings, in a partly visible, or semi-substantial, state. In June, 1880, at High Easter, Essex, England, London Times, June 24, 1880, there were poltergeist disturbances in the home of a family named Brewster. Furniture wandered. A bed rocked. Brewster saw, or thought he saw, a shadowy shape, which he recognized as that of his neighbor, Susan Sharp. He and his son went to the home of the woman, and dragged her to a pond. They threw her into the pond, to see whether she would sink or float. But, though once upon a time, this was the scientific thing to do, fashions in science had changed. Brewster and his son were arrested, and were bound over to keep the peace just as should be any woman, who, during rush hours in the subway, should appear in a hoop skirt. A case that was a blend of ancient accusations and modern explanations was reported in the London Evening News, July 14, 1921 that is, mysterious illnesses attributed to the doings of an enemy, but an attempt to explain materialistically. Residents of a house in Putney had, in the London Southwestern Court, accused their neighbour, Frank Gordon Hatton, of administering poisonous fumes down their chimney. Saying that the complainants had failed to prove their case, the magistrate dismissed the charge. If anybody could have a sane idea as to what he means by insanity, he might know what he is thinking about, by bringing in this convenient way of explaining unconventional human conduct. Whatever insanity is supposed to be, it cannot so satisfactorily be applied as the explanation of two persons' beliefs relatively to one set of circumstances. According to newspaper accounts of a murder, in July 1929, Eugene Burgess, and his wife, Pearl, went insane together, upon the same subject. It was their belief that, when Burgess's mother died, in the year 1927, she had been willed to death by a neighbor, Mrs. Etta Fairchild. It was their belief that this woman had cast illness upon their daughter. They killed Mrs. Fairchild. In an account, in the New York Sunday, October 16, 1929, Mrs. Burgess is described, belying the comparison to the ignorant peasant women, who have stood for trial for similar crimes, for hundreds of years, Mrs. Burgess looks like a prosperous clubwoman.